Thank you for listening to the Grace Harvest Church podcast. For more information, go to graceharvestchurch.org.
Let's pray for the Lord to breathe his breath of life continually on the rest of this morning. So let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in Trinity, we worship you. We celebrate you. Thank you that you are present among us today, that we don't need to somehow get you to come, but you are present in and with your people. We just want to be more aware of you, and we want to see you as you are. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time in Scripture and this time this morning as we honor and give thanks to you for Drew and Rachel. Lord, bless this time. Bless our ability to see and hear what you want us to see and hear, and give me the ability to communicate it. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit differently, and it's only morning for 12 more minutes. So then even as we get into the afternoon, it's still going to be different. I just want you to know that. We're going to depart from the series that we've been doing on the book of Mark, and we're going to spend some time this morning celebrating Drew and Rachel Eklund. Amen. We want to celebrate their life and ministry here for the last 17 years of faithful service at Grace Harvest Church. I'm just going to read what I wrote here to you. Every Sunday, it's our aim and our desire. We want to make the biggest deal of all about Jesus Christ. That's why the church exists. Amen? Jesus is everything. And our focus and our desire is to make a big deal about him every week. However, the New Testament teaches us that Jesus Christ often comes to us through people. It's what we see all through the New Testament. Jesus shows up through people. He makes himself real to us through people. And for the last 17 years here, Jesus has stood up big and tall through Drew and Rachel Eklund. We've set aside today to give honor to whom honor is due. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking to you from the Scripture this morning and talking to you about the idea of honor and receiving who God sends to us. And then we're going to have Drew and Rachel come up and share a little bit with us for a few minutes. And then we're going to gather around them and we're going to pray a blessing and we're going to send them out from our church. But at the very end, we're going to do something extra special. And that is we're going to receive a thanksgiving offering to God for them. And every penny is going to go to them and to their family as they make a transition from here to Old Town, Idaho, and to House of the Lord Church up there. Amen? So before we do that, I want to start out with three scriptures to kind of lay the foundation. Actually, two scriptures, but two of them are going to be from a different translation. I want you to notice Romans 12:10, and we're going to look from the New Living Translation and also from the English Standard Version. Notice what it says here. It says, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Did you catch that? Take delight. When's the last time that you really had a great time honoring somebody? Look at what the next version says, the ESV version says. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's powerful. You know, I find a lot of times in the church, in our families, in our friendships, in our relationships, that I don't know what it is that stops us from doing it. Maybe we don't want to puff people up with pride, or maybe we don't want to do flattery. And so in the name of not wanting to flatter people or puff them up with pride or say too much to honor them, we withhold honor. And the Scripture tells us that we need to outdo one another in giving honor. We need to take delight in giving honor. We need to show appreciation. We need to show encouragement. We need to let people know, I value you. I mean, isn't it ironic that we have eulogies when somebody goes to be with the Lord, right? And someone gets up and talks about how great they are, and then we open up the mic, and people come to the mic, and we spend all this time celebrating the life of a person and offering up memories, and we talk about them, but we often talk about them in a way that we didn't talk about them when they were alive. And when people are alive, that's when we need to say, I love you. This is why you're important to me. This is what you've meant to me. This is how your life has impacted me. Because then that is something that will build and strengthen them and help them to be better. Listen, if you get puffed up with pride because somebody honors you, something's wrong in your own heart. Because most of the time, my experience with most of the people I know is when you honor them, it humbles them, right? Romans 13:7 says this, pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, respect to those you owe respect. This is not a commentary on government thing, so just chill out, relax, okay? But notice the last part, and honor to those you owe honor. Have you ever wrapped your head around the idea that we owe some people honor? Some people are worthy of honor. We say, well, we only give honor and glory to Jesus. No, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches us that Jesus comes to us through people, right? And that we're to honor people, especially if they've made an impact on our life. Now, I want to get into my key text today, and this text is a pretty well-known text to a lot of us who've grown up in our kinds of churches, but I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and I want to give you a little bit different angle on it this morning. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Amen? I want you to notice a few things from this text. The first thing, Jesus Christ gave gifts to the church, and those gifts are people. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are people. You ever thought about that? Yeah, they are endowments of Christ. Yes, they equip us and teach us and they bring a function to our life. But if you really think about it, the common denominator in all of them is they're people. When Christ wanted to bless His church and gift His church, He gave us people. Years ago, my dad, he would get in trouble sometimes that he would say this, and I felt like it was a little awkward and cringeworthy, but he would say, you know, I've been given as a gift to you. He'd say, I'm God's gift to you, church. How many of you know they didn't always take that real well? But there was a truth and a reality in that that's profound. And that is that when God wants to gift His church to help His church become who He wants it to become, He gives us people. Amen? When Jesus wants to bless and help His church and reach His world, He gives people. In this text of Scripture, we see that Jesus gives us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And He invests all of those functions and abilities in people. The gifts that Jesus gives to His church to make it healthy are people. We must remember that the most important element in ministry after the presence of God is people. 17 years ago, God gave us Drew and Rachel to bless and help us. He gave us people. The gifts He gives reveal who Jesus is. You ever thought about that? When we look at this text within its context, we see that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, He released the very ministries that were inside of Him, and He gave those to His church. Each of these gifts reveals something about Jesus to us. Drew is a pastor and teacher, and he showed us the heart of Jesus, and he equipped us to be worshipers, to care about community. He equipped us and gave us those things. Rachel is a blessing to the body of Christ in so many ways, and a connector, a sticky person. Have you ever heard that term? She's a sticky person. And what I mean by that is if you get around Rachel very long, you're going to get stuck to her. And she's going to make you feel important and loved and special. She's a sticky person. And in that way, God gave us a part of Himself. Jesus gave us a part of Himself through people. The second point that you notice in this text is that the gifts that He gives equip God's people to do His work. So think about this. The gift he gives are people with certain graces on their life. And he gives them to the church, people. By the way, we all know this, right? This building isn't the church. You're the church. We do remember that? And you individually are not the church, by the way. We corporately are the church. The word church, ecclesia, called out to assemble. It's people. It's always been people. It's not a building. When we say, well, I'm going to go to church this morning, I know what we mean. We're going to go gather inside that building. But the building's not the church. It's the people that are meeting there. Right? And so we see here that he gives people to equip people so they can go out and reach people. That's the way of the Lord. Jesus equips us through people to help us grow up and to grow out. I love the word equip there. It means to fully furnish a house. You know, there's something interesting that happens, right? When if you've ever, you know, bought a house, or even if you've rented a home and you've moved in, you know, initially you walk through the house, and most of the time, not always, unless it's staged and it's a model home, you walk through the home you're going to live in and it's empty. And what's the first thing you do in your mind? You begin to visualize. I'm going to put the sofa over there, and this TV's going to be over, and the bed will be over here. You begin to, in your mind, furnish that house so that that house becomes a home, right? And that's exactly what this verse means, this particular word means. This Greek word means to fully furnish something, to bring it to completion, to bring it to perfection, to take something that's empty and fill it. And that's what God does when he sends his people. Over the years, Jesus gave us himself through Drew and Rachel so that we could be equipped to grow up and out as the body of Christ. Drew has been equipping our worship department. He's been leading our small group ministry. And he's been doing this for several years. He's equipped worship leaders, trained small group leaders. He's been an example in our church of Christ-like leadership. He's counseled people, pre-marriage counseled people, done weddings, done funerals. Through it all, he's shown us a pastor's heart. He's shown us Jesus. Our church has been equipped. It's been furnished. It's been filled. The house has become more of a home through Drew and Rachel. Amen. Better say amen. Number three, the gifts he gives us are to build up the church. And what's the church? People. It's all about people. Maybe you're going to get annoyed with me because I use the word people so many times, but that's what this is about, right? God with people. That's the gospel, God with people. And what we want to do is take God out to people, because our world needs God. But God connects with people through people. That's the profound truth of the gospel. The gifts he gives are to build up the church. So Jesus builds us up in a few different ways. First, he builds us up in our character, our maturity, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been building his church through Drew and Rachel. He's given us more character. You could think of that in a couple of different ways, couldn't you? He's a character, you know, she's a character. He's helped us grow in our maturity. They've helped us grow in our maturity. And they've released more of the fruit of the Spirit into our lives through Drew and Rachel. You know, when you're around and with certain people, they rub off on you. They affect you. They influence you. They not only teach you, I mean, I love Drew's teaching. And every time he's taught, I've watched him grow more and more into that pastor teaching role. He's instructed us. There's a deep theological reservoir there. He draws out of those depths and he instructs us and teaches us and we get shaped. But what I love about Drew and Rachel is just them, just being around them, because they rub off on you. You know what I mean? Like when you've been with them, you know you've been with somebody that's Christ-like. They've also built us up in numerical growth, influence, and outreach to our world and to our city. Drew and Rachel's influence at Grace Harvest Church has helped us to grow numerically, to give greater influence in our city and outreach to our world. when the body of Christ is built up, its growth impacts the world around us. Drew and Rachel helped us to do that. I think of Rachel's influence. I've noticed this over the years that Rachel has a lot of connections in this city and this region, and many of them don't even attend our church. That's the kind of influence that she has. She has an influence with people because she makes people feel seen. And there's something really profound when you feel seen. You know, you've heard me tell this story before, but I read it years ago, and it's kind of a downer story, but it illustrates something really powerful, and that is a young man got up. This is a true story. A young man got up one day, and he decided he was going to take his own life. And he lived near the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, California. And he walked out of his house, but the last thing he wrote is, "If anybody looks at me and says hello, I won't do it." And as he walked to the bridge, no one looked at him and said hello. And when they found that note afterward, everybody recognized this was a person who just wanted to be seen. They wanted to know, my life has value. My life has purpose. I'm recognized. There's something that I bring to the world that is more than just taking up space and breathing the oxygen. I actually have purpose and meaning. And what I want to tell you is that Rachel and Drew both make you feel seen. And many of you in this room that have been touched by their lives, you know that. They listen well. They care about you. Amen. Amen. Jesus made us healthier, better, stronger, faster, bigger. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Because of Drew and Rachel. The measure of good leadership is always, are we better than we were before these leaders became a part of us? And that's a question that I think is very easy to answer. We are much better than we were before they came. They added much to us. They made us stronger. They made us better. We're a better church because you guys were faithful all these years, all these 17 years. In fact, did you know that Drew started on staff at Grace Harvest Church on October 1st, 2008? Exactly. 17 years ago, minus a few days, minus a couple days. It's been profound, it's been powerful, it's been beautiful. And in a few minutes, we're going to pray for them. But at this point, what I would like to do is I would like to invite the two of them to come up here. They're going to come up here, and they're going to take a few minutes and share their hearts with you. Will you welcome them? Put your hands together and welcome them.
Did you want to go first? You're going to go first? Okay.
Oh.
I've cried so much today. I don't know what I look like, but here we are. Oh, good, good. Oh, wow. Yeah, 17 years. It's wild looking back and remembering just the little babies that we were. Drew is 26, and I was still 23, almost 24. And just thinking about our life since then and our journey here in this place with such a people and such a church, such a body, is overwhelming and humbling. And it just feels like we've been here. I keep thinking it feels like we've been here our whole lives because it's just been so rich and so vibrant and so life-giving. And it's where we had our babies and watching them grow and thrive and build such beautiful friendships with the kids in this house. And for us and our staff, best staff. And Pastor Doug and Peggy, we just love you so much and we honor you. And we just are so grateful for how you scooped us up right away. And when your kids were only teenagers and with all the cool hair and, oh my gosh, the memories. That too. Yeah, I feel like our hearts are so full of just treasure, that these 17 years here have been a treasure and have filled us and has gone to such a sacred holy ground, I feel like, just in our life and just who we have, just what we've gone through and the highs and lows and growing in our ministry and in who God's called us to be and raising a family, and just there could have been no better place for us to be. And we're so grateful for Moses Lake. When I tell you we love Moses Lake, I mean we love Moses Lake. We love Grace Harvest Church, and you are forever so deep in our hearts and such a treasure to us. And just thank you for loving us. Thank you for holding our family and rejoicing with us in happy times and being in the trenches with us in the hard times. And I could go on and on, right, babe? I have all the words, all the tears too. But just from my heart, thank you. Thank you for loving us and just being the dream body to us. We're so grateful for you. So.
Wow. That was beautiful. I think if we would have known, I told somebody, we've had to do this twice. This is the second time that we've had to get up here and do this. And I told somebody after first service, I was like, if I knew that Doug was going to do this on a Sunday, I would have said, please don't do that. please don't say nice things about us. it's really humbling is what it is, because the truth is it's such an honor to be able to serve here at Grace. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Doug and Peggy and the team for allowing us the space to grow. You know, I hesitate to say the word matured, because there's a lot of maturing that still needs to be done. But we matured here. We were, married a year when we got here. We've had all our kids here. And this has been our family. You have been our family. The staff have been our family. To say that we're grateful, I wish there was better words to describe thoughts and feelings like that. But it goes so far beyond feeling grateful. We feel cared for and comforted and blessed and privileged and honored and so many other things that God brought us here. Of all the places that we could go, and we knew that he brought us here. And that's, we just knew right away after our first Sunday. It was like, I think this is it. And we just knew that wherever God wanted us to be, that he was going to make provision in all the different ways. And we have been provided for in more ways than I can even fathom and talk about year after year, day after day, of his grace and his goodness in every single aspect of our life. And so we're so thankful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I just want to leave you with a couple things. I was praying this morning, and I just felt like the Lord dropped just two really simple things into my heart for Grace Harvest Church. And the first thing is that there is still ground to take. There's still mountains that need to be moved, that need to be climbed, right? There's still so much work to do. And usually there's no shortage of work, there's shortage of workers. And so I want to encourage you that now is not the time to pull back. Now is the time to lean in, to jump in and be more involved than you ever have. To deepen relationships with the people around you, to be salt and light in this place and in our community, and continue to grow the family of God in Moses Lake. Amen. Regardless of who's here and who is not here, the mission of God for this place hasn't changed. And your mission actually hasn't changed. We're called to love God, and we're called to love people and bring people into that family. Okay? The second thing is, contend for love and unity. And I say contend because it's always going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. It's going to require work and effort to maintain love and unity, even in the church. But we are a people whose standard is Jesus. That is our standard. And we know what that looks like because it's laid out over and over in Scripture. And I want to remind you of some of the Apostle Paul's language around love and what that really means. Most of you probably had this in your wedding ceremony at some point. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is like the love chapter. But the thing is this is not just for married couples. This is for everybody who calls himself a follower of Jesus, who is a Jesus people, okay? And I'm going to paraphrase this for the sake of time. But he basically says this. He says, you can have all of these gifts. He talks about prophecy. He talks about knowledge. He talks about faith, the ability to do amazing things. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And it's hollow. And it doesn't mean what you think it means. The thing that goes on, the thing that never ceases, is love. And so whether it's here on a Sunday or whether it's out in the community, that us as a people, Grace Harvest Church, that you would be marked by that love. And people would know who you are because of how you love. Is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to turn it back to you, Pastor Doug. We love you.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. You did it. Are you relieved? It's not quite over yet. There's a lot more tears yet to come. You can be seated. We're not quite done. A couple of things. First, the other thing that I want to do is, you know, this morning we have some of the most special people in our life here in the service with us, and that's Jeff and Robbie Eklund and also Lindsay Eklund. And as you know, this family with Drew and Rachel and their kids and Lindsay's children, they've been walking through the valley of the shadow of death on their own. About 6 weeks ago, Joel Eklund, Drew's brother, Lindsay's husband, Jeff and Robbie's son, went to be with Jesus. And that was a shock, and it rocked the family, it rocked their church, it rocked us and our church. And so I'm just really, really honored and blessed that they're here today. And earlier, I asked them if they had anything that they wanted to say. And I want to invite them to come to the platform and share whatever it is the Lord's put in your heart, even from the first service. And so I want you to put your hands together. Will you welcome Jeff and Robbie?
We have been so blessed. I've referred to many times with not just when they're around, but with other people that Doug and Peggy are probably our best friends in ministry. We've been on mission trips. We've been on vacations together. We've ministered together. Doug is like one of the favorite people that we bring into our church on a pretty regular basis. And entrusting our son and daughter-in-law to their care has been one of the greatest privileges of our life, because there's just been something as we've watched them. You know, I had a sense in the first service. I want to reiterate that. But there was something in the first service that just dropped into my heart during worship, and it was that the Lord was going to stretch out your tent pegs. There was something about expansion then, and actually when Doug was talking about the housing thing, I just felt this word from the Lord in the Holy Spirit, just refurnish. God is refurnishing some stuff, and he's refurnishing some stuff in our house and in your house, and in a great sense. We're so grateful that God is allowing our son and daughter-in-law to come be with us, but also you guys are also sending a son and a daughter from your house out. And that's just a beautiful thing. But we're so grateful to you guys. Grateful to the staff. I mean, over the years, I've talked so much with Drew. He's always been so honoring about the staff here and the support and the ability to grow. And I remember almost 17 years ago when Doug had called me and we'd talked, and he said, I need a worship leader. I need a worship pastor. And I told him, I said, my older son is down in McCall. We'd asked them to stay when the Lord transitioned us for a year. I don't know if he has what it takes, but I know that you could give him a try. And then later on, they told me the first Sunday he came up here, they were so impressed because he broke a string and he kept leading worship. I guess that wasn't, if that's what qualified you, then that worked pretty good. They were impressed with that. I was like, oh, man, I've told you to keep the strings on your guitar fresh, okay? Anyway, we're so grateful to you guys, and because you have cared for our kids, and you've allowed them to grow, you've allowed them to mature, you haven't given up on them, and I'm grateful to see that they have sowed into this church. This is our sister church. Our church at House of the Lord refers to Grace Harvest as our sister church. And so it's like you can bring them back as many times as you want, and have him lead worship, have them preach, have them do whatever they do in your body. Amen.
I want to just thank you. It's going to happen. It's going to come. I want to thank you as a body for loving our son and daughter-in-law so well. You know, there's something unique about this church. So unique. And there's a fragrance and a flavor that is just, it's unique to this body. And you've sown so thoughtfully. And you've sown it into our son and daughter-in-law and their kids. And you know, God, God's wisdom. We don't always understand God's wisdom, but God knew what was needed to be placed in their lives. And so this fragrance and flavor of Grace Harvest Church has been sown into their lives. And they continue to bring that wherever they go. And thank you so much for being that church. I don't think you realize how unique you are. And what a beautiful fragrance and flavor is in this house. It's just beautiful. Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. I always prefer somebody saying that we have a beautiful fragrance and not a terrible odor. So that's a good thing. I want to do something right now that is in our heart just to bless Drew and Rachel, and that is I want them to come on up front if they would with their family. And by the way, we didn't give you guys your baskets in the first service, but the big ones for your kids, and then there's one for each of you. And then I'd like all of our pastors and elders and their spouses to come. And then I just want to say this to you as a church. If any of you feel to come up here and surround them and be a part of praying for them, we would love to invite you to come as well. If that's in your heart, you come on down here. And something else, we're going to pray over them. And if any of you get a prophetic word for them, like you really get something that you feel is from the Holy Spirit, we want you to share that. Make it short and sweet. But also, this isn't a time to tell them to give testimonies about what they've done in your life or what they mean to you. That can be done privately and personally. But if you get something from the Holy Spirit that you really feel like this is the word of the Lord for them, then we want you to feel the freedom, those of you that are up here and out there, to do that as well. But we're going to take a minute right now. We're going to pray over them. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, if you would, Pastor Raul. And let's pray over these people that are beloved to us. Just stretch your hands toward them if you feel comfortable with that. And let's pray. Abba, Father, each time I do this, I don't even know what to pray. I just want to give this son and this daughter and this family of yours back to you. Not that we ever had them or owned them, but you know what we mean. We want to give them back to their future, their calling, and to what you have for them. And so, Lord, we commit Drew and Rachel and their beautiful family to you. We commit them to the House of the Lord, to Old Town and Newport, to that region of North Idaho, and we pray that you would go before them and make a way for them in every area, in housing, that you would sell their home here and give them a new home up in that area. Mm-hmm. Friendships and connections and relationships. Mm-hmm. New graces and abilities in pastoral leadership and ministry. In many areas, in teaching and preaching and training others and in multiplying leaders, in raising up and helping in worship. Whatever it may be, Lord, in every executive pastor role that he has and whatever you have for them in the future, for him and Rachel both, Lord, that you would give them an anointing and you would release upon them fresh oil. And that from them would come things that they are even surprised at. Lord, I pray that you would draw out of them gifts yet undeveloped and gifts that have begun to sprout, that they would come to full fruition. And that, Lord, the days ahead would be good days for them as a family and as a church. It would be filled with growth. It would be filled with depth. It would be filled with breadth, Lord. It would be a church that is continuing to move forward into its mission and calling. God, we pray that you'd keep their marriage strong, their home strong, that your hand would be upon every one of their children, that it would be just a time in their life where they would recognize that God gave us a special grace for this time and this season, that everything we needed was there. And Lord, as they continue as a family to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and experience grief, I pray that you would meet them in that place, and that in that place you'd bring beauty out of the ashes. Lord, we thank you for Drew and Rachel and their family. We bless them now. We send them now. We pray for that apostolic sending, that touch, that authority, that power to go before them and be with them. We pray, Lord, that you would connect them with the staff, with the other pastoral staff and the leaders there, that it would be an easy transition and it would be relational in nature. Thank you for it. We bless them now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, are there any of you that are up here that feel you have something of a prophetic nature for them? Grant, come on, go ahead and step up a little closer.
So I feel like the Lord gave me a word for you guys. So being here at Grace Harvest Church, you've been here, and it's almost like you've replicated Christ's love in this place. Mm-hmm. You've planted trees in places, not only deepening your own roots, but also the roots of others. And I saw this picture of, as you're going to Old Town, Idaho, there's already trees up there, right? So it's different. It's not like you're planting trees, but what you're going to be called to do up there is prune.
Wow.
So just how Christ tells us to abide in him, he's the vine, right? A part of Christ being in you is that you do what he does, right? So you're going to go to Old Town, Idaho, and you're going to prune. But also you're going to clear out the chaff from the field, because you know what happens in a forest. If there's all this death surrounding all the life, when a fire comes through, it burns up everything, not just the death, but also the life. Mm. And so as you go to Old Town, Idaho, you're going to clear out the death. You're going to clear out the stuff so that when the fire of the Holy Spirit comes through, the life isn't burned with it. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Adam?
I actually got this in the first service, and it's interesting because I wasn't really putting things together that Drew talks about. There's still land to take, and Jeff is talking about extending tent pegs. And I actually feel like this is for your kids, and more specifically, this little guy here. Do you like Spider-Man? Yeah? I see you swinging from building to building with this freedom and courageousness to do things that haven't been done before. I feel like there's a massive protection that has been provided from father to father, that like an extraordinary spiritual authority that has been given. And God is saying, run without fear. And he's going to go to lands that might be a little bit scary for mom and dad, is how I feel. And he's saying, don't walk in fear.
Come on.
That the Lord is with you. There's extraordinary protection for this family.
Amen. 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 Beautiful. Anybody else? Prophetic niche. Kurt.
I was so blessed to get to meet Joel at men's camp this year. What an awesome man. And this word's for all of you. The Lord says, out of the ashes of sorrow and grief, much joy is coming. Amen. Much joy is coming.
Amen.
And he also wants you to know that there are going to be some things that are going to be a little topsy-turvy, but there are going to be some really good stuff. But it's all going to work together for him. And he just knows that as you went through this time of grieving and are still going through, he's seen every minute of it. And he knows how you've reacted. Sometimes, you'll have to be honest, you haven't reacted properly, probably. Mm-hmm. But he knows that, and he understands. Mm-hmm. And he's just so thankful that you are still going forward with that. And also, he wanted me to let you know that when something burns, out of the ashes, much nutrients are released.
That's true.
And he's releasing nutrients of these ashes of the sorrow you're going through that are going to bless you tremendously and bless those that you touch. Because you've got such a great heart for the Lord and a great heart to stay steady and strong. And it's going to make a whole big difference in a lot of people's lives. So.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Allah?
I'm fairly new here. It's going to be 4 years that we're in this church. And you guys have been such a tremendous blessing for us. Amen. For me, my family, and I feel your sorrow that you guys have been going through. Mm. I feel your pain. Mm. And I just want to encourage you to lean on the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And he is with you. And he will lead you. He will guide you. Mm-hmm. He sees everything that you guys are going through as a family. Mm-hmm. To clarify, 8 years ago, my late husband went to be with the Lord. So I've been there, and I know what it is. And the Holy Spirit is with you. He's mm-hmm. there.
Amen.
Trust him with all your heart.
Yeah.
And I just heard a word, transcend. Mm. I don't know what that means, actually. But we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Lord. And I believe that sometimes we don't know, we don't completely comprehend the power of the Holy Spirit, the amazing, awesome God that we have. And Rachel, thank you so much for being that joy and the encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I just want to learn more of you and your light and your just that joy of God that you have and such an example. And thank you so much for being on the worship team and just serving us and encouraging us as a church how to praise God and how to glorify him. And
Amen.
Just such an amazing for our children even. And thank you so much. May the Lord lead you and guide you and be with you everywhere you go.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. The rest of you can be seated because we're going to end now with something very special. It's our desire to send Drew and Rachel, we want to send them out of here laden down with the blessing of God in every way. We want them to know how much we appreciate them. So I want to encourage you that if the Lord puts it on your heart to write them a card or send them a Facebook message or something, but just let them know, communicate to them what they've meant to you and how special they are to you and how much you love them and how they've imparted something into your life. But the other thing we want to do is bless them financially. Moves are expensive and they're making a huge life transition, and we want to send them out of this house with the blessing of the Lord. So I want to start by just sharing a scripture text with you. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 says this. It says, elders, and Drew's one of our elders and one of that, you know, a shepherd, overseer, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well. Bet y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, huh? Especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. So Drew, you've been a good ox. I just want you to know that. And we want to make sure you get some grain here. And then in another place, those who work deserve their pay. Okay, so what we want to do, they've been getting paid, but we want to send them out with an extra blessing. So if you want to give, Raul, were you able to check? Do we have a place specifically on PushPay. You can either do on PushPay a specific thing if you use that in the app that says Drew and Rachel, or you can go to miscellaneous. Just make sure you put in the memo that it's for Drew and Rachel, or if you want to give a check, give the check to Grace Harvest Church, but in the memo, write Drew and Rachel Eklund, or any of the other ways you can see on the screen. But we want to, again, make sure that we pour into them, and let's be really generous. Amen? Let's take a minute and pray and ask the Holy Spirit what He would have us to do, and then we'll just follow what He says. Father, speak to us by Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for this couple and their family, what they've meant to us. Pour into them now, through us. We've talked about how we received a gift from You, and it was them. And now, Lord, let us be a blessing back to them, we pray. Speak to each of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let's go ahead and receive the offering. Can I have you stand to your feet? Can we one more time just express our appreciation to the Lord for Drew and Rachel Eklund? Can we do that? Come on. Thank You, Lord. Yes. Thank You, Lord. Woo! Let me pray a blessing over you. Father, bless Your people, we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance, His face upon you and give you peace. Shalom in your home, in your life. The blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow be your portion. Amen. Go with God. He goes with you. Feel free to hang around and express your love and appreciation. God bless you. Hey, how's it going? Pastor Doug here. I just want to welcome you to come to Grace Harvest Church. This is a really healthy, alive church family. It's a great place for you to grow in your faith, a great place for you to make connections with people. We worship God passionately, and we really have a desire to make disciples, that is, people who follow Jesus and become like Him. And I'll tell you, this is a great place if you're struggling in your life and you're discouraged or you have a lot of questions about God. Maybe you're just a seeker. This is a great place to encounter His presence, to get to know Him. We study the Bible. We learn from the Scripture together. And really our whole purpose and our whole journey is to know Jesus more and to connect as His people. So I want to welcome you. I want to invite you. I want to say come to Grace Harvest Church. We're here on Sundays at 9 and 11. You'll be embraced. You'll be welcome. We're a very friendly church. Not only that, you'll get a free coffee. God bless you.